151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We take the insert for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost and chant the introit.
Testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live.
Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your just decrees. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and
us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
your church in your perpetual mercy, and because without you we cannot but fall, preserve us from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos chapter 8. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the chaff of the wheat? The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the anthem, we meditate upon hymn 757. Please turn in the front of your hymnals to Psalm 113. We chant responsively by whole verse.
Praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord.
Bless you.
to be praised. Receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We sing the hymn of the day, number 782. You may be seated.
Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, Jesus shows us what it means that we serve God and not money. Serving money. Serving possessions and property and making the goal of our lives to accumulate more and more stuff for our own personal satisfaction. Selfish ambition that says, I will be happy only if I have a lot of money, and then I will be at peace. You and I know, however, money is a cruel master. Money is here today and gone tomorrow. Money could care less about you. If we feel good about life because we have money in the bank, and we feel lousy about life because we're broke, then our whole focus is on money. Serving money is a cruel master and will never give us lasting peace and ends up in nothing because you can't take any of it with you. Jesus calls us instead to serve God. Now think of that word, God. We're talking about the Holy Trinity here. We're talking about the Father that created you and even determined the color of your eyes. We're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to have nails driven into his wrists to bear your sin upon himself. We're talking about the Holy Spirit who came upon you in holy baptism, who fills your heart with joy and peace. This is who God is, the mystery of one God in three persons. He is first in our lives because he is first of all. He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Apart from him, we wouldn't exist. Unlike money, however, our Master, our Lord, is a kind Master and is our Heavenly Father. So today, God knows our hearts. We cannot hide from God. How do we conduct our lives as Christians, living in the sight of God every day? How do we serve God and not money, is what we look at today. And if we're going to serve God, we're going to see today that we serve God with shrewdness, with faithfulness, and with dedicated service. So let us begin. How do we serve God with shrewdness? Jesus tells this parable about an earthly manager who is called in by the owner of all the property because he's not been handling the management properly. It's about to be taken away from him. So we have a rich man who has a lot of property, a manager who is taking care of it, and you have all of these debtors. Now that the management is going to be taking away from him, the man does something very shrewd. He goes to one and says, how many do you owe? 100. He says, change it to 50. He goes to another. How much did you owe? 100. He said, change it to 80. He reduced the debt. He made friends of them. And in fact, they would have assumed that he had the permission of the rich man to do this. And so in the end, the rich man himself would have looked great among all the people. He reduced our debts. This shrewd manager, although this was dishonest, had actually made the owner look good in the eyes of all the people. Is Jesus praising dishonesty? Of course not. The thing you need to know about an earthly parable, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The main point of this is he's saying, we are to be just as shrewd in the treasures of God as people in the world are with the treasures of this world. He's praising shrewdness, being smart. He acknowledges that the people in this world are more shrewd when it comes to worldly things, but he says, you are the sons of the light. You handle the heavenly treasures so people can come into the heavenly dwelling. The point that Jesus is making is this. If you are shrewd in your investments for your planning, how much more shrewd can we be in the preaching of the gospel? Meaning, we will use everything we have, all of our time, all of our treasures, all of our intelligence, all of proper shrewdness to bring the treasures of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world that needs them, because we are sons of the light. This is the point that Jesus is making. We are given talents, times, and abilities and money that God has given to us for our daily work. God calls us to serve Him and be shrewd and faithful in all that we do. God was definitely shrewd towards us. Paul says, Jesus, God our Savior, because God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Look how shrewd God the Father was. He sends Jesus to a lowly virgin in Bethlehem, where no one expected the Savior to come from. Here Jesus, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, has one hand in heaven and one hand on earth, and He's the go-between between God and man. He gave His blood on the cross as a ransom payment, the blood that paid the debt that we owed. God the Father accepted that ransom by His blood and declares us holy and innocent. Christ is the atoning sacrifice for the sin of the world. How shrewd the Lord was to do this through this lowly man called Jesus, who though he was lowly and humbled himself to death, even death on the cross, is now highly exalted at the right hand of God, true God and true man. This is the testimony, the proper time, the gospel of Christ, that we in all shrewdness, in whatever way we can, take this heavenly treasure to a world that needs it. This is what it means to serve God with shrewdness. Secondly, we serve God with faithfulness. Jesus says, He was faithful in a little, will be faithful in much. You will sometimes talk to a person who owns a business, and they will say something like this. When I find an employee who's really excellent at mopping the floor and takes great pride in their work, that's a person that might end up managing my whole company. If they're faithful mopping the floor, they may end up managing a whole part of my company. They were faithful in little, they will also be faithful in much. This applies to our lives as Christians. We start with little things that we do that our parents teach us. Children come to church with their quarters and put that in the collection plate. Faithful in little, later faithful in much. Teachers teach their children Sunday school. Who knows, teachers? One day those children might become Sunday school teachers themselves. In the church, we have the true riches of God's grace. So we start with small things that we do, and we're faithful in a little, and then the Lord enables us to be faithful in much. Think of the riches that we have in Christ. Forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. The assurance of eternal life. Being faithful doesn't mean we all have to become missionaries, pastors, deaconesses, or DCEs. Being faithful means that in your daily vocation as a disciple of Christ, as a spouse, as a parent, as a worker, a church member, and in your community, you are faithful within your daily activities. You are faithful at work, faithful at church, faithful in your community. Faithfulness in the gospel. God was certainly faithful to us in Christ Jesus. He faithfully promised that because Jesus is our mediator, He faithfully will hear our prayers and answer them. Think of how Paul explains the faithfulness of the Lord, that we bring supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving for all people, including kings and those in high position. Why? We want to lead a peaceful, quiet life in godly, dignified ways in every day of our life. We teach what it means to pray faithfully with the acronym ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. God is faithful to answer our prayers. For A, we come with adoration. We praise you, Lord, for the heavens and the earth and all that you've made. C, I confess all of my sins and thank you for Christ's sake you have forgiven me. T, thanksgiving. I thank you for all the gifts of this day, the beauty of this day, my family and friends, my daily bread. S, supplications. I pray for this person in the hospital, this person who has lost their job, this person who is in distress. God is faithful to hear our prayers and answer them. What does it mean to have the Lord be our master? It means to be shrewd in the riches that God has given us. It means to be faithful in our life as disciples. And lastly, it means to dedicate, to come to Him with dedicated service. Jesus continues, you cannot serve two masters. You will love one or hate the other. You will be devoted to one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. If we love money, if money is our master, then we will hate God. And they ridiculed Jesus for saying this. For some people, all of life is about money. So if a person's whole life is focused on money, they have completely forgotten about God, and money becomes their master. If we have God as our master, then we will love God and we will ridicule money. We'll say, money's fine, but money is not an end in itself. Money is the means by which God uses our talents and abilities and treasures to further the gospel. That's the real purpose of money. Our master, our Lord, gave you the ability to work. He gave you your talents and your paid a salary. And now you have your income to take care of your family, to take care of the needs of those around you, to support the work of the gospel in the church, and to help those who are in need and in poverty. This is the purpose of all that the Lord has given us. He says those who try to justify themselves before men are an abomination in the sight of God. In other words, the Lord could care less how much money is in your bank account, how expensive your car is, and how much your house is worth. My goodness, He made the heavens and the earth. He made the entire universe. Instead, we want to be justified before God in Christ Jesus by humbling ourselves before Him, coming to Him through Christ and being acceptable in His sight, and saying, Lord, you are my master. I want to happily and with a dedicated heart serve you. Think of how God serves you each day in your sanctified life when you come to this divine service. He is serving you by the gospel being preached, and you're being taught by the word that you hear from that lectern. He serves you in the waters and the word of holy baptism, and you heard the word of absolution using my lips to tell you that your sins are forgiven. And here He gives you His body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. This whole service, God is serving you. This is why we joyfully respond with service, praise, and thanksgiving. Paul does speak about the roles of men and women in the divine service this morning. The words of the epistle are speaking about the office of the ministry, that pastors can only be men, males, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And the shepherds of the flocks, of God's flock, are called men who faithfully shepherd the flocks that God has set forth. So that within the Christian community, there's appropriate behavior and lifestyle, lifting our holy hands in prayer with no anger or quarreling, be respectful, modest, self-controlled, properly submissive, filled with faith and love and holiness and self-control. This is how we serve one another, because God in Christ has served us. So my friends, if you're wondering, what's the purpose of my life? The purpose of your life is to serve your true master, God. This puts your job in the proper perspective. You now see that everything you have is to be used in the service of the gospel of Christ. And this gives you great joy. G. Jesus, who is true God and true man, our mediator and redeemer, has already paid the ransom price for you. You have the heavenly wealth and the treasures of eternal life now. We will do everything we can here to support the preaching of the gospel, to help people in need and in poverty, and to reach out to all people everywhere with the knowledge of the truth. God grant that we use time, talent, and treasure in our churches, in our homes, in our work communities, and in our neighborhoods with shrewdness and faithfulness and dedicated service. Each day, we serve God joyfully and not money. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We turn to page 158. We stand to confess the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. The prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Rejoicing in Christ's salvation offered to all, let us call upon God our Father for ourselves and for all people. Kind Father, your Son declared to us that we cannot serve you and also be devoted to money. Free all your baptized children from obsession with the goods of this world, that they may set their hearts to the joys of the kingdom and the inheritance that never fades away. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you entrust to your people the abundant wealth of Christ's salvation in your word and sacraments. Bless pastors, teachers, evangelists, lay people, all people who faithfully serve, the steward of the mysteries, the gospel of Christ. And grant that we can properly use the means of grace and rejoice in your salvation. Bless Trinity Lutheran Church and all the ministries here. And bless Pastor Christian Teves and his wife Lula as they serve in the Lutheran Church in Germany, reaching to immigrants from the Middle East. Lord, in your mercy. Maker of heaven and earth, you created man and woman for different offices and with different gifts, that they might complement one another, glorify you. Grant that in our homes and congregations your people might rejoice in their callings as you've chosen them to serve you. This week, bless Jerry German, Charles Vorster, Jenny Swanson, Ed Hasbrook, Doug Gransberg, Emma Sepulveda Lynch, Shel McDonald and Brad Rogers, Ron Fisher, Pastor Mark Preuss, Lauren Dunaway, Kurt Strom as they celebrate their baptism and birthday. And bless Doug and Gwen Gransberg, Marcia and Stephen Gillis, Roy and Hope Warner, as they celebrate their anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God our Savior, uphold our President, governors, senators, House of Representatives, and all who serve as governing authorities. Placed in high positions, grant them wisdom and mercy, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in everywhere, every way. Continue to bless those who defend our freedoms. Bless the police that defend our freedoms and the firefighters who fight the fires. Bless those who serve in the armed forces of our country, Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin, Ricardo Batanga, Danny Green, and Courtney Tate, Eli Wiley. And we also pray, Lord, for peace and the war in the Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, be with the sick and those who suffer, those who are troubled in mind, those grieving their sorrows. Be with the family of Patsy Roller, who was buried yesterday, to assure them of a blessed reunion in heaven. Grant healing strength to Jeannie Brinkheader, Dwayne Wasowski, and Candy Darmody, Lindsay Shemp, Kay Coffey, Jay Gallagher, and all who are in need of relief, healing, and strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, you gave your Son as a ransom for all, that we might have life and salvation. Give us unity in faith and hearts eager for mercy as we come before you this day and come to your table. Gather us among all the saints in glory around your throne. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
As we gather the offerings, please take the ritual of friendship pad at the end of the pew, tear off a sheet to fill out, and pass it to the folks next to you. The completed sheets can be placed in the basket in the narthex as you depart. We gather the offerings. You may be seated.
Sing offertory page 159. We stand to sing.
Your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy.
Let us
pray.
by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Canticle, page 164, we stand to sing. Strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.